Well, good afternoon to everyone. It's nice to see you all here today. Oh, I didn't remember there was a clock up here. Didn't bring a clock today, so I was thinking, well, maybe there's one in the back of the room, but there isn't. There's one right here in the front. That's nice. I never usually have trouble going over, though. I hope you all had a very wonderful Thanksgiving and maybe got together with family and friends. It's always nice to see some of your relatives you haven't seen for a while, and it's enjoyable. A few months ago, my daughter and her future son-in-law gave me a book, and it's entitled The Lord is My Shepherd, and it's by Robert J. Morgan. And the sermon today is going to be based on a lot of the things that he mentioned in there about Psalm 23. So I'll read that again to you. The Lord is My Shepherd is the title of the book, and the gentleman is Robert J. Morgan. He's a preacher in Tennessee. So many of the Bible heroes were shepherds. If you look in the Old Testament, there's many individuals in the Old Testament that were shepherds. The second son of Adam was Abel. He was a shepherd. If you think about Abraham, he was a shepherd as well. And his son Isaac was. And so is Jacob. They were shepherds. They had lots of flocks. And they also had other animals, but they had lots of flocks. Moses, when he left Egypt, became a shepherd. And he was tending sheep when the burning bush was, and God opened his mind, told him so different information there to go back to Egypt and take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And of course, we remember David, and he was a shepherd as well. However, the one that comes to mind first of all these, is in my mind, is David, the shepherd boy who wrote Psalm 23. We're going to be spending a lot of time there, so if you want to start turning there to Psalm 23, we're going to be there. We're going to go to other places, but the main focus today is Psalm 23. If you think about David, he's out there tending the sheep. There were many long days that grew into many years in green pastures tending sheep. Shepherding his sheep became a classroom for his leadership and the position that God was going to make for him, that he was going to do. David learned to care for his people through tending sheep. And we'll see that as what he writes in Psalm 23. And by loving his sheep and while protecting his flock, he was preparing to guard the nation of Israel. I know God was the one that did it, but he was the physical leader himself. God worked through him, and the lessons that he learned from the tending of sheep, God could use him then in that responsibility as God protected Israel, but he led different men and armies and so forth. There's no experience that he learned in the tending of sheep was lost. He used it somewhere later in his life. The same is true for us today. Whatever we do in preparation now, learning lessons and so forth, are going to be used in the future, perhaps in our life in the future, but we'll eventually use them in the future as spirit beings with God. But we're all learning different information now as we go through life. We're learning different things. So David also learned spiritual lessons, as we are learning, and he liked thinking himself as a sheep. He learned to think of himself as a sheep. He watched them. He watched their tendencies. As we'll go through this, you'll see that sheep have certain tendencies. And he realized those tendencies were human, or like humans. Humans are like sheep in many ways. You'll see that as we go through this today. And we realize that Christ is the shepherd. And we'll see that. He thought about this long and hard and later summed it all up in Psalm 23 with God's inspiration. And I already told you the name of the book. So let's go to Psalms 23 and verse 1. We'll start reading. Now this gentleman was, I never seemed to be able to break things down like he did. I mean, he takes each word and tells you what they mean. And by doing that, he gives you much more in depth. Some people are very good at that. I was never good at that. And this really helped me to understand this more fully. So we'll look at Psalm 23 verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So, what does Lord mean? What can we grasp from that word Lord? Well, if you go back to Exodus 3, let's go back there. It tells us about Lord. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Exodus 3, this is where Moses was up on the mountain in the burning bush. And if you look at Exodus 3, and we'll read in verse 4 through 6, notice what it says. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and it was burning, and said to Moses, Moses, and he said, Moses answered, here I am. And then he said to him, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So it was special. We've read this many times. Let's drop down to verse 13. Then Moses said to God told him he's going to go back to Egypt. He's going to have the children of Israel released, and he was going to lead them out. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And notice the words here that God tells Moses. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And that word back in Psalms, Lord, is the same being. It's the same words. I am who I am. That was very important. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am have sent you. So when we go back there, he tells us when God appeared to another shepherd, Moses, we realize that he asked him what his name was, and there he tells him his name is I am. It's the same word that is used in Psalm 23. So if you go back to Psalm 23, the word, if you read that again, it says the Lord, so you would say, I am, is my shepherd. The great being who created everything, the I am, is my shepherd. It's good for us at times to sit down and think about, like Mr. Wiener was talking about meditating, and this gentleman said the same thing. It's good for us to sit down at times and just think about I am. Now, I know our finite minds have trouble with that. We can't really grasp all the things that God can do, but we can grasp a little bit of him by what he tells us in the scriptures. But we should sit and think about him. We realize he is true. He's always noble. He's always just. He's always pure. He's always lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. You can keep going. Think of other things. We should meditate on those things. And Alan already read the scripture, but if you go back to Philippians 4:8, it's exactly, if you go back, we'll go back there and read it, but that's exactly what Paul told us, that we are to develop those characteristics which are God's. So let's, the I am. So we'll go back and read it in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. And he makes here, tells us in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brother, whatever things are, and then he goes through these different points. True, things that are noble, things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's what we're to put God's character, the I am. He's going to ask him to help us to think of those things and put them into our lives. And then verse 9 says, the things which you've heard, learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, Paul says, and the God of peace be with you. So, God was, we know that, he is, and he will be. He's the same. You can go to the scripture. It tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The name indicates not only, the I am, indicates not only that his existence has always been, but his existence is present, and his existence is future. And when we go back to Psalms 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. So you could say that the Lord will be my shepherd in the future. He's going to be my shepherd in the future. He's timeless. He is my shepherd now, because God, the I am, is always there. So in Psalm 23:1, it makes us feel calm when you read that. the Lord is my shepherd. Becoming more, when you think of him as the I am, it makes us calm. We know that he's always there. His presence is always around us. He's always there, been there. He always will be there. He's going to be in the future. There's no doubt. It's a calming feeling. It's also very personal. Let's go back to Psalm 23 again. It makes it very personal in that first verse. It says, the I am is, he doesn't say he's yours. He doesn't say he's everybody else's. He puts the word in there, my. So he makes it very personal. It's mine. But it's yours too. I'm not saying it's not. But by the way he presents it, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes it very personal. God is your very own. He's his very own. Not that we control him or anything, but he is there to watch over us, because the word shepherd, which we'll get to next, is going to show us that. He's the shepherd. So it says, when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we're really saying, I am his sheep. If he's my shepherd, then I am his sheep. And if I am his sheep, that adds up to the next thing, he owns me. If you think of a shepherd, as David did, he realized that the shepherd was in control of everything about those sheep. We're going to see some characteristics of those sheep as we go on, and you'll see that the sheep really look to that shepherd. They really, really, their nature is altogether different than other animals, dogs, cats, and everything else. Sheep look to a shepherd. And he's telling us that's how we should be. We should look directly to God. He owns me. I am under his management, his care. As we go down through it, you'll see that he is, he talks about green pastures, still waters. He provides them. He gives them to us. We'll get to that a little later. It says, the I am does all for his sheep. The I am, the great God who created each of us, does all for his sheep. He's all around us. He's there to help us. So in Psalm 23:1, it says, let's look now to the next word. The I am is my, the next word is shepherd. What is a shepherd? Well, we'll get some characteristics, or who is the shepherd? Who is the real shepherd? So we'll get to look at that in John 10, verse 10. Let's go to John 10, verse 10. When Jesus Christ came, he gave us numerous different things, but he makes different statements that make it very plain who is the shepherd. It's not David, it wasn't Moses, but the shepherd is himself, as we will see. John 10, verse 10. It says, the thief does not come as except to steal. I'm breaking into the thought. You can read the whole parable, but it's talking about the good shepherd. We're just going to break into the thought here. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, he's talking about Jesus Christ, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then he says, Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We know about his giving his life for our sins and so forth. Now it says about the hireling in verse 12, who's not a shepherd, he's just a hireling. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them, kills many of them. The hireling flees because he is hired and does not care about his sheep. So he's telling you that the shepherd, the good shepherd, cares about his sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And he says, I am, Jesus Christ, I know my sheep, and I know my own. He knows each and every one of us. We are his sheep. So here it tells us that Christ is the good shepherd of Psalm 23. He is the I am, and he's also the shepherd. Now let's drop down to Hebrews 13:20. Hebrews 13:20. Here it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, we can relate that. We talk a lot about that during the spring holy days, Passover. The great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant. make you complete in every good works to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So it makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and he's going to help you complete the things that you need to do, develop, so forth. He's going to be right there as a shepherd, tending you as he would tend a flock. Gives you that analogy. Now in 1 Peter 2:25, here, Peter says, "For you were like sheep gone astray." That was before we understood the truth. That's how I look at it. "But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So here he's telling you that we return. God opens our minds. We return to understand the truth. So he tells us we must look always to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. We return to him. 1 Peter 5, just a few pages over, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, "The elders who are among you I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God." So he's telling those that, as you'll see later, that when Christ died, he gave some responsibilities to the apostles to shepherd the flock. And that's what this is referring to. It says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, and not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." So he's telling what man as shepherds are supposed to do, the teachers. "Nor as being lord over those entrusting to you, but being example to the flock." That's what men who are God has appointed to do, Notice verse 4 then. "And when the chief shepherd," who is the chief shepherd? It's going to refer to Jesus Christ, "appears, you will receive the crown of glory and does not fade away. So, likewise, you young people," he goes on then and says about submitting to the elders and so forth. But the chief shepherd, he goes back and tells us that the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ when he appears. So he's telling us what shepherds are to do, some of the things they do. Another place it talks about shepherds in Revelation 7:17. Revelation 7:17. I'm breaking into the thought here as well. But in verse 7:17 it says, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So that Lamb, which refers to Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is going to shepherd his people and give them living water, even in the future when he returns. So God is the Redeemer, he's the Helper, and the Shepherd, and we're to follow him. Let's turn to one more in Isaiah 40, verse 10. Isaiah 40, verse 10 is talking about in the millennium as well, in the future when Christ returns. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. It says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him." So when Christ returns, the reward's going to be with him. He's going to rule with a strong arm. God's way will, his laws will become enforced. And behold, his reward is with him. So he's going to bring a reward. "And his work before him." Notice what it says in verse 11. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms." That's what a shepherd does. He takes care of the lambs. He will help us and carry them in his bosom. He will bring them close to him to help them through. He will be there to help them and gently lead those who are young, just like a shepherd. Christ is going to do that when he returns. He's going to help so that all mankind, because Jesus Christ is that good shepherd. Now I'd like to read from you something in this book that was written by, it's on page 27. It says, "When God created animals," this Morgan writes, "he seemed to design some of them as educational tools. By watching an eagle soar, in the heavens, we can learn about updrafts of faith. By observing ants, we learn the importance of diligence. Proverbs 6:6. You know, go to the slugger, you ant. Don't be lazy. Get something accomplished. There's a lot more meaning to that, but that's essence. We are to have the sure-footedness of a deer in a high place. You can think of those Rocky Mountain goats on those little tiny edges up in the Rocky Mountains. To be shrewd as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Matthew 10:16. And to draw near to the Lord as chicks nestle under the wings of a hen. Did you ever see that? It's really neat. Eagle comes flying over, a hawk, and the little ones are out scrambling around. She makes one little noise, and you'll see all the hens just, and she'll put her wings up like this, and they'll all be underneath, and you'll see a little head sticking out. She makes herself look three times as big as what she is. That's what a hen does. Now he says, sheep are mentioned more than any other animals in Scripture to teach us about ourselves. But the primary lesson is this. We need a lifelong shepherd. We know that shepherd is from Scripture, is Jesus Christ. I put that in. Then he says, we need a lifelong shepherd, one who loves us, whom we can love in return. The tender affection between sheep and shepherds is a picture of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's many other things in the book. I suggest that it has some good points. It has some things that aren't so good, but it has many good points, characteristics that describe different things that can help us as individuals to learn more and understand more of God's truth and his way of life. Let's go back to Psalm 23, verse 1 again. And we'll go on a little bit. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The next thing is I shall not want. We're not quite done with the shepherd yet. I forgot something here in my notes, a little bit more. So the Lord is my shepherd. We understand it's saying, I am his sheep. I am under his management. And I am under his care, because Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Now, the word shepherd can be divided into six divisions or six thoughts. And I'll just give you them briefly. We're not going to go through a big discussion about that. I have a couple scriptures, only two or three out of the six. But these are some of the tendency a shepherd does. One, he seeks the lost and straggling stock. He seeks after it. We'll read that. Christ wrote that in Luke 15:4. We'll look at that one. A shepherd always goes after the one. He's always caring for that little lamb that gets away from its mother and the flock. And Jesus Christ gives us an analogy of that in Luke 15:4. Luke 15:4, and we'll read all the way to verse 7, says, what man of you have a hungry 100 sheep? If he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? That's how a shepherd is. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, so it's precious to him. He puts it close to him. He picks it up. He carries it, and he rejoices. In verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then verse 7, there's lots of other things you can learn from this, but verse 7, it says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just person who needs no repentance. But the idea I'm trying to describe is the shepherd will go after that one little sheep. Jesus Christ will go after that one who goes astray to bring it back. The second thing about a shepherd is he feeds his sheep. You'll see more about that characteristics as we go on. He's always providing them with the best grass. It says it, green pastures, still waters, so forth. He guards his sheep from predators. That's the third one, guards his sheep. So the first one was to seek or lost or stray stock. The second one was to feed a sheep. The third was to guard a sheep. And the fourth was to tend a sheep. And the fifth was to protect the herd from predators. That's the things of the shepherd. And we'll look at one of them in John 21:15. Let's go to John 21:15. John 21, verse 15. There we go. John 21:15. So, when they had eaten, breaking breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, Peter says back, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He says to him, "Feed my sheep." So he's giving the responsibility to Peter and all those other individuals, the apostles, of how he's going to lead the church. He's talking about sheep. He tells them to feed my sheep. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, "Feed my lambs." "Yes, Lord, feed my lambs." I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Verse 16, he says to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter answers and says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Tend my sheep." Those are points of shepherds, of a shepherd that we just went through. In verse 17, he says to him a third time, "And Simon Jonas, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep again." And you can put other things in it. You could say, "Guard my sheep, protect my sheep." That's what he's telling him. You're going to play this role as a human being to take care of those individuals that I'm going to call, God the Father called, but that I'm going to work with. You're going to take care of them here on earth while you're here, because I won't be here, Christ is telling him. He's going to be crucified and go back to his Father. In the Hebrew word for friend, the Hebrew word for friend is derived from the Hebrew term shepherd. If you look it up, that's what it's derived from. So it's friend and shepherd. They're very similar. They have a lot in common. In Bible times, it wasn't dogs that was man's best friend. It was sheep. Many were shepherds. And I gave you examples before, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Even Moses' wife, Zipporah, brought the sheep. She was tending the sheep. She brought them to the well. And Moses pushed all the other ones that always took the well. The other herdmen came there and pushed them back, said, "You have to wait because you're a woman." And he said, "No, that's not so. We're going to feed there. Remember, he waters the sheep for all of his future wife." Or at least some of his sisters. I'm sure her sisters were there with her at that time. But anyhow, she was a shepherd as well. And we know David was a shepherd. Isaiah prophet sums up this in Isaiah 40:11, when he talks about shepherds have an affection for his sheep. We want to look at that now. Isaiah 40:11 shows that a shepherd had great affection for his sheep. We sort of touched on that a little bit before. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. And we did read this before, but it says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." So it shows that the shepherd had great compassion. He had great affection. He had great concern for their sheep. Now let's go to Ezekiel 34, verse 30. Look a little more about shepherds and affections that they have. Ezekiel 34 and verse 30. Here Ezekiel writes, Ezekiel 34 and verse 30. I was going pretty fast. I see you're not getting there as quick. I'm talking too fast. Should have Alvin here because he always would look in the front row and I'd watch him turn his scripture so slow. And I'd think, I need to slow down. I wasn't paying attention, so sorry about that. Need to slow down. So Ezekiel 34, 30. Ezekiel 34, 30. says, Ezekiel 34:30, it says, thus they shall know that I, the Lord, that would be the same as the I am, their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God, or eternal. And then in verse 31, it says, you are my flock. You are the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So he's telling you, God has great concern, feelings, all those things that the towards his people. He has great concern for them. You could probably think of other words that would fit into that as well. Let's go to Mark 6:34. On this, along the same line. Mark 6:34. Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd, Notice what he did when he was on this earth. This is just one particular thing. In Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and already the hour is late. And then you keep reading on, that's when he feeds those 4,000 or 5,000 people with two loaves and three fishes. You can continue to read that yourself. But Jesus had great compassion for the people. And he used the analogy that they were like sheep with no shepherd. In Luke 12 and verse 31. Here Christ speaks some more. Luke 12:31. It says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So don't, as a flock, don't be fearful. God is there. He's going to help you through all the difficulty things that you have in your life. He's always going to be there because he is your shepherd. He is my shepherd. Christ gives us an example there of don't fear, little flock. In John 10, verse 11. Here Christ is talking again, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he's making it very plain. He's going to take care of you. You can read about the hireling. We read that. Let's drop down to verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So the sheep know him. The shepherd knows them, the sheep. He knows us, and we know him. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even as I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Then he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. And he says, No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment I have received from my Father. He's talking about when he's going to be crucified. He gives his life. And he is the shepherd. He tells us, he's telling us to take care of, I must have written a root down different note than that. So Must have the wrong scripture. It doesn't fit there, but it applies. It applies to being a sheep too as well. So Christ is our shepherd. He is going to take care of us. He lays down his life for us. And we know him and he knows us because we are his sheep. He's going to call more people, more individuals, and they're going to become sheep in his fold as well. Let's go to 2 Samuel and verse 12. 2 Samuel verse 12. And verse 5. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 5. And this is going to talk about David. Now, David was a shepherd for when he was young. And then, of course, you remember the story, the events that took place when they were standing out to fight Goliath. And he went out and prayed to God and asked God to intervene for him. And he went out in the field and he asked God to give him courage. Went out, took the stone and killed Goliath. Then, of course, Saul was rejected over a period of time. And he became king. And now, this is later on in his life. This is after the events where he kills Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. He takes Bathsheba as his wife, and Nathan comes to him to rebuke him. He's going to correct him. He's going to show him that what he did was wrong. David didn't think nothing of it. He was in the wrong frame of mind. He was king. I can do whatever I want. Maybe he's in that attitude. I don't know. But he was not thinking like God. Now notice what happens when Nathan talks to him in verse 5. Second Samuel 12, verse 5. It says, "So David..." Well, I better give you a little bit farther back. Let's go back to verse 4. David's telling about the sheep. And the rich men in verse 2, it says, let's go back to verse 2. "The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him, with his children. It ate at his own food, and drank from his own cup, and laid in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And the traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Now notice, David was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. By being a shepherd and taking care of sheep, when Nathan used this analogy, it brought David back to reality, to what he was. He could understand what he did. Not yet, but you'll see real soon. Verse 5. "So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die.'" He wouldn't have came to that conclusion if he wasn't a shepherd taking care of sheep. Would have been really hard unless God really, he could have done it. God could have done it, but being a shepherd, it was easier for David to see his mistake because he was a shepherd. Verse 6. "And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan, this is the clincher, Nathan says to David, "You are that man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anoint you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you a master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would have also given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in the sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never leave you." It's going to be a penalty. "Because you despise me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversities against you from your own house. I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbors, and he shall lie with your wives in the sights of the sun." And Absalom did that. His son did that down the road. "For you did it in secret, but I will do it before all of Israel." Notice David's response in verse 13. "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sins. You will not surely die." David, because of being a shepherd, and he used the analogy of a sheep, David understood about sheep. He knew how precious sheep were. He was one of those that would go out after. It talks about him going out when the wolves came into the sheep herd. He went out and took care of the wolf, killed it. "I've killed a bear," it says, I think, in Goliath. "I've taken care of the wolf." So he understood he had great care for that sheep. When they used the sheep, he understood that analogy and he could see himself. God used that to teach him. The sheep are definitely dependent on the shepherd. They don't defend for themselves against predators. They're not like dogs. if you have a pack of dogs, we went one time to, what was that place called? Penn's Creek. At the top of there, there's a preserve where it comes out of the cave. Penn's Creek comes out of a cave. It's a spring. And on that place, they have wolves, white wolves. I think they're from Alaska. And they have them in a cage. And they brought them up to the cage. They came in a pack. And they all looked at, they put, I remember Ethan was a little fella. He's 6 foot now. He's not little anymore. But he came out to the fence. And when he came there, what, did I say the wrong name? Jacob, it was Jake. Jacob's about 6 foot, isn't he? Well, whatever. 5'8". He was just a little tot about this big. And he came along the fence, and the guy said, well, they wouldn't come up, the wolves. Just walk in there close to the fence. They came up, and they all just hovered around him. His eyes piercing at him. The wolves were eyes piercing at Jake. And that's how dogs are. So dogs, when they weren't running packs. They're not like dogs. Sheep aren't like packs. They don't run in packs. They're not like a cat. You watch a cat, it's out there and it just pounces on the mouse. They defend themselves. They're not like a horse. Horse will stand there and attack and jump up on its hind legs and throw its hooves down on whatever it is, a wolf or whatever is attacking them. And cows, they just kick the tar out of whatever's behind them and hopefully they don't get them. That's how cows are. I walked past our steer the other morning. I don't know what his problem was. But I had the bucket, a white bucket in my hand, and I threw him the hay. He was eating the hay. I thought he'd be fine. I walked behind him. I was just a fraction close than I should have been. And he took his hind leg, kicked out. I guess he didn't like the white bucket because he kicked the bucket and threw it into my leg. And I thought, So I walked around to the front and said, don't you ever do that again. You're going to the butcher shop. So maybe he got the lesson. I don't know. If he doesn't, he'll be at the butcher shop. They all those animals, horses, dogs, they can make it on their own in the wilderness. You think of the buffalo. They made it on their own. And even cattle can make it on their own in the wilderness. But sheep can't. Sheep can't make it on their own. They really have no defense against anything. If somebody comes in to attack them, they don't have any defense. They always look to the shepherd. Now I'd like to read something that he describes of a shepherd in his book, Mr. Morgan. It's on page 31. This is 31. Where's 31? There's 31. And I'll break into it. It's about the second paragraph or third on the right on page 31. It was the springtime of the year, and the snow had only recently melted. The grass was turning green. There were about 2,000 sheep in a large flock, and the shepherd built a large bonfire. Alan drank in the scene as if it was the pages in a picture. But one shepherd, in the picture book, one shepherd, three dogs, a big bonfire, and 2,000 sheep scattered around the bonfire and the shepherd. As the night wore on, the sheep settled down, and all were quiet, until suddenly a long, low wail of a coyote pierced the air. The dogs growled and peered into the darkness, trying to figure out where that coyote was coming from, where they heard the sound. The sheep, which had been sleeping, lumbered to their feet. Alarmed, they bellowed and bleated pitifully. I can't even say the words right. The shepherd tossed more logs on the fire, and flames came up, shot up. In the glow, Alan looked out, and he saw thousands of little lights, and he realized those were reflections of the sheep's eyes of the sheep. These sheep had instinctively looked towards the shepherd. They didn't look out there towards the coyote that was behind him. They all looked towards the shepherd, and these sheep instantly looked towards the shepherd. In the midst of the danger, Alan observed the sheep were not looking out into darkness, but they were keeping their eyes set in a direction of their safety, looking towards the shepherd. I can't help but think of Hebrews 12. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the characteristics of sheep are definitely different than most animals we see. They're not like eagles. They're not like dogs. They're not like horses or cows. No sheep don't have any protection at all. They look to their shepherd, just as we are to look to our shepherd, Jesus Christ. We are like sheep, and we are dependent on God. You know, we can become easily distressed, have stress. We can become easily frightened as sheep. And without God's help, if He don't tend for he tends if He doesn't tend us, we'll probably become sick. We'll probably become unhealthy, and we'll probably panic. Because we are like sheep. He says we are like sheep. Now let's go to Psalms 23 and verse 1, and we'll read it again. Psalms 23 and verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's really saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything." Because the rest of the scripture is going to tell you that. The rest of these verses that are coming up are going to tell you, you shouldn't lack anything because I'm the shepherd, God's Christ is saying. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to see all the things He talks about. Now we'll read them. And then we'll go back and look at what they mean. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures, the shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters." Here's another account here. I'm not going to read that, but he says, sheep aren't very good swimmers. You put them in a stream because of that wool, they just sink to the bottom and drown. So that's why they like still waters. So do we. We don't like turmoil. We don't like chaos. And we don't like disruptions that changes things. We like calm, still waters. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," which we're all going to do, "I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over." I have so much. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now we'll go back and we'll break them down. I'll just give you one-liners. That's how he did in the book. There's a whole lot more in the book, but I'm just going to use the one-liner. It says, "For He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I will not lack peace." Just think about that, lying down in green pastures. You're at peace. You won't lack peace. You'll have peace if God is your shepherd. And He is our shepherd. So we should have peace. We won't lack peace. "He leads me by the still waters. I will not lack any provisions." He's going to provide. He's going to give me green pastures. He's going to give me still waters. I'm going to have all the provisions I need. "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. We all become depressed. Sometimes we feel down and out. People can hurt our feelings. But he says, "He restores my soul. I will not lack hope and encouragement." God will, as one of Christ or God's sheep, we will not lack hope or encouragement. The fourth one is, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." So He leads me. He leads me down a path that's always in the right direction. You never end up with God in the wrong direction unless I or you decide to go in the wrong direction. He never leads you down a path that's going to take you to where He harms you. He's going to lead you down a path that helps us. And so he says, "Leads me down the path of righteousness. I will not lack guidance." He's telling you, you will not lack guidance. You will always have the right guidance because God is our shepherd. Fifth one is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I'm just going down through this, what I read in Psalms. So, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And the response to that is, "I will not lack deliverance in tough times." God will deliver each of us in tough times. Even when we walk, when we come to that point in our life, and death is near, He will deliver us. We have hope. He will be there. He will help us through that time. Verse 6, or not verse, the sixth verse, sixth point, for you are with me. The book says, he came up with, I will not lack compassion if God is with me. Now, I didn't understand that one quite totally, but he does, we will have compassion because God is with us. He has compassion. He shows compassion to us, so we should have that compassion. I will not lack compassion. Different way of thinking, perhaps. The seventh one is, for the rod and staff comfort me. Of course, that is, I will not lack protection. If his staff is there to lead me, the staff is used to keep me from going and falling into a hole where I might fall in a pool of mud as a sheep, and I can't get out because of my wool unless he comes and helps me. He might take the staff and pick me out with the staff to help me get out of that mud. Or he will also protect me. The staff and rod protects you in other ways, like from predators and so forth. Many other things. You've probably heard sermons about just the rod itself, the staff and the rod. Verse 8, for my cup runneth over. And for my cup runneth over, it says, I will have abundance, help, healing. A shepherd will be there. He's always there. My cup runneth over. He's going to help you in everything. He's going to give you abundance of things. Good, clean things to eat. Green pastures, still waters. He's going to help you when you're down. He's going to help you when you get sick. The shepherd's there to help the ones that get sick and put them back on their feet. And he will just always be there. So he's going to be there. So he says, my cup runneth over. I have everything I possibly could need. He'll always be there to help me. The ninth one, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And it's about all the days of my life. And it's telling us that God will provide. No matter where we are in life, whether we're young as an infant or when we're old and can't get around, God will provide. The shepherd will provide. And the tenth one is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's talking about the shepherd will give us eternal life. Now I'll go back over them since you probably maybe not got them all. The first one, I won't read the scripture about green pastures, but I'll write down what he came up with. I will not lack peace. The second one is, I will not lack provisions. I will not lack hope and encouragement. I will not lack guidance. I will not lack deliverance in tough times. I will not lack compassion. I will not lack his protection. I will have absolute, he says, when he comes about my cup runs over, I will have every abundance in help and healing, everything. My cup runs over. He provides way more than I need. He's always there. He provides more, and he gives a great abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. God will provide. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd will give us eternal life. Christ gave us assurances many times. We'll just read one. Matthew 6, 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24 and 25. Christ states, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. You either serve God or you don't serve him. That's what he's saying. Verse 25, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Just like the shepherd. The Lord's Psalm 23. Don't worry about your life. He tells you all those things. He's going to take care of you. What will you eat? What you will eat, Jesus Christ states. Or what you will drink. Nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Now drop down to verse 32. He says, For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have all these things. But he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. So we're to seek first the kingdom of God, and he will take care of your needs. He is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is our shepherd. It's external, internal, and eternal. External, internal, eternal. External is he provides the daily needs for us. Food, clothing, all those things. The external things around us that we need. He provides them. He's a shepherd like that. He's internal. He gives us peace. And he gives peace. He says, I leave you with peace. He gives you that inner peace, that inner calm. Because we know he's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us all those things so we have an inner peace because he is our shepherd. And he is eternal. He gives us eternal because we who believe on him and follow his ways and develop his character will have everlasting life. We will have everlasting life. We will become eternal too. So he's external, internal, and eternal. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 and 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 11. 8 through 11. Second Corinthians 9, 8 through 11. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficient in all things, and may have an abundance for every good works. As it is written, he is despised abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplied seed to the sower, and bread for the food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything, for all liberality, which causes the thanksgiving through us to God. So he's telling us the same principle of that shepherd is going to lead us. He's going to take care of us. Let's go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. And Psalms 84, 8 through 11, 8 through 11. Psalms 84, 8 through 11. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield. Behold our shield. He is our shield. And look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your court is better than a thousand. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. It's just reinforcing. He's going to take care of us. It's our responsibility to do certain things, but he is the shepherd. He's there to help us. And one more scripture in Psalm 95. Verse 1, Psalm 95 and verse 1 through 7. Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Eternal. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, singing. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The height of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dirt and his hands formed a dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need. He is our shepherd. We have everything we need. There is no excuse. He's there for us. He's going to protect us. And when you read Psalm 23, he tells us he is our shepherd. I put an R in there instead of we because I wanted to refer to all of you. But he is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is the God. He is the I am. He's going to take care of you. All those characteristics of a sheep, shepherd, all those characteristics of a shepherd, he will do for his sheep. We are his sheep. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need. What more could we ask for? What could we possibly think of and ask for? He is our shepherd.